All right, Nusige. Nafla Lamed Alf Amid Aleph. Nafla Sakin Vishachata. So if this the knife falls, okay, let's say off a table. Let's say, I don't know. Let's say wind blows, the knife's on the table. I'm making this part up, but the wind blows it off. And the knife falls, and there happens to be a chicken walking down under the table, and it actually shachts it. Afal pisha shachta kedarka, even though it shachts it perfectly. Psula. Shenemar v'zavachta v'achalta. Masha ata zoveach ata ochel. Okay. Zavachta shlamim v'achalta sham v'samachta v'nei sham alakacha. Okay. Masha ata zoveach ata ochel. Okay.
What does zavachta mean exactly?
Zavachta, I think, means and you shacht it. But I think, I'm not sure about this, but I think zvicha is sacrificial slaughtering. Like it's part of it's a shchita in the context of a carbon. I think. I might be wrong about that. I'm not sure if I just made that up on the spot, but that's what I think. Bez. Let me see the Rambam. Which is interesting is that the Torah's discussions about Shechita really by Kachim, Zvicha. And then it just says at some point when you go outside of the into the desert or somewhere you go to Israel, then basically you could do animals and you do Shechita like I commanded you over there. It's almost like Shechita of Chulin is like derived, at least in the Pesukim, in the Torah, because in the Mikdash, in the Midbar, they couldn't have Basar Chulin. The Basar Taiva was also, they only let Basar, they wanted to eat meat, you wanted to do Shechita, you couldn't do it in the desert, because like there were the Seirim and the demons and the whatever, you had to go to the Mishkan. But then, when you get Eretz Yisrael, I think only when they got Eretz Yisrael, then they were allowed to eat Basar Taiva became out there. Basar Taiva means not carbon, stam shchita. And I think then they used the shchita, which existed, to be like borrowed from the shchita of carbon. But I'm not sure if that's just like a historical phenomenon or like conceptually there's an idea that shchita is for first in Mikdash and then Cholin. It's like I knew that fact, but like I thought maybe when in doing the sugyas of shchita, somehow that would play in. But so far it hasn't, or at least not in anything I did, you know? Nothing that became noticeable to me that was the case, but it's like a kind of an interesting question. It's like the relationship between Shechita of Kachar and Shechita of Chulin, is there any differences, similarities? I don't know, it'd be an interesting thing to pursue, but I don't know. No, I'm just following the parak. Nothing really presented that to me. Okay, so let's say like this. It says I read the Rambam, it's interesting. It's Beis Yir Aleph. Ein Shechita Sachulin Shricha Kavana. Shechita Chulin doesn't need kavana. El afilu shachat kemes asek. If it's like a mesasek, or derech schok, or you're just playing, or shezorak sakin lono sobe kosel, or you throw a knife to like playing darts with it, to stick it into the wall. Veshachta b'halichasa, and in transit it does shechita. Hol veshechita karoi b'mkoma v'shiura harizuk shera. It's kosher. Lafika cheresh o shota o katan o shikar. Drunkai Oshinis Navla Daita Shas Babala Daito. Shikr, who's like, bubbling all over himself. Babala. Umisha Achazaso Ruach Ra'a. Right? Or someone who basically, a demon overcomes him. Right? Some psychotic episode. Sheshachato. Beachir Nronoso. Right? Shechzid and others see him. Sheshchita Ketikna. Others see that he shechted properly. Here's Yikshera. It's kasher. Avol sakin shenafla v'shachata. Afol pisha shechta kedarka arizu psula. But a knife which fell and did shechita, even though it shechted properly, is pasul shenemar v'zavachta. Hadjiya hazoveach adam. You need the zoveach to be an adam. Afol pisha enim eskavin l'shechita. Even though he's not mechavin for shechita. Okay? Sounds good? So let's do ours again. So let's look at the Gemara. You know, why don't we, before we do the Gemara, can we just give a basic definition? I mean, we're going to have to get into the chilukim and stuff, but can we just give a definition for this? Zevachta ve'achalta, ma'atash ve'achata ochal. Okay? So if the knife falls, and the shechita doesn't work, because ma'atash ve'achata ochal. So, maybe like to define it, could we define the havmina maskana? I guess the havmina would be that this shechita is good. The maskana is it's not. So could we just give like a basic working definition before we get plunged into the further complications of the thing? It's not that complicated, but it's not, you know, there are derivative cases. But let's just get a basic definition just to get started. Which is, I think, often a good idea, you know? It's often a good idea when you get started. You have basic things, give a definition, which is sometimes we call them a working definition. Which is basically its starting point, so you can think about it a little bit conceptually, but not to spend too much time working on it, because it's arguable that as the sugya progresses, you'll end up getting more facts and it will change. So, but you know, just going forward to something, the tentative, so, you know, starting definition. Okay, so this was Shmuz saying, I'm going to adjust to the drop, but. Basically, what's the idea of shechita? Is it pshat that in order to eat from an animal, it has to die a certain way? It's like a certain method of death. Method of death is that it dies through shechita. What does that mean? Through chaticha simanim, and you can have all the tzura, all the tzura shechita, but it's like really just a method of dying. What kills it? This and this, you know, this and this knife motion, this and this angle, and this and this speed, and this and this whatever. But the method of death, it doesn't, vis-a-vis the method of death, whether there's a person standing there holding the knife or it's whatever, in terms of the method of death, it's the same. It's just the knife cutting it in whatever form. But, or do you say, Kamashon v'zavachta ve'achalta, is the machshir of a behemah, of shechita, is it's like a maise adam. It's not just that the animal gets killed through a very specific type of mechanical thing. You need an adam. Shechita is a ma'aseh adam, and if it's there's no adam involved, and it's just that it dies through a certain type of motion of the knife, that's not shechita. Shechita involves it's a human action. It can't just be described like in the coroner's office, so to speak, of how, you know, through what's the cause of death. It's not just a cause of death. It's a ma'aseh adam. I mean, that's what we're about to get into. The Gemara is going to get into what type of ma'aseh adam do you need, a gaben das, does it have to be on purpose, does it have to be accidental, and all that stuff. I mean, that's the Rambam we were reading is talking about. But those details are really subject to machlokas. But the Mishnah, at least this halacha, is it clear that if it falls off the table, if there's no adam involved at all, I don't think anyone says that's kasha. I don't think. Well, we'll have to read the Gemara, but that's the basic halacha of the Mishnah. I mean, how the Adam's doing it, that we don't know from our Mishnah, right? So far, the Mishnah just says if it falls off, then it's possible. So there has to be an Adam involved. But do you need Kavana? Do you not need Kavana? Do you need Das? Do you need whatever? That's the Rambam mentioned to us, but the Rambam is really based on the Gemara, not based on the Mishnah alone. So that's basically our sugya now. But that's what I mean. This is like a starting point. Starting the definition of the Mishnah is that it's not just a method of death, but it's a ma'aseh adam. Shechita is a ma'aseh adam. Not just a description of a type of death on the death certificate, you know? Okay, but now the Gemara is going to get into, okay, let's pursue this idea a little further, because ma'aseh adam is a little bit vague. As you're noticing, Michael, there's a lot of pratim in what ma'aseh adam means. And that's the subject of machlokas tanaim, exactly, whether, you know? Okay, so the Gemara says like this: Taima de nafla. The reason why it's possible in our Mishnah is because the knife fell. Ha hi pila hu, but if he dropped it or threw it down, kishera, it would be kosher. V'afagav de l'machavein, even though he didn't have kavana. Rashi, Avdal Machavein, Lishchot, even though you don't come on to do Shechita, Ella Palasakin, rather just like Kavana for throwing the knife down. Mantana, who's the author of this Mishnah? How do you know that? How does the Gemara know that? Gemara is deducing. It's saying is it's only because it fell. But if he threw it down, even though he wasn't intending to do shechita, it's still okay. How does the Gemara know that? All right, man tana dilobin and kavana shechita. So who's the author who holds you don't need kavana for shechita? So that's my question: is how do we know? How does the Gemara know that the Mishnah is holding you don't need kavana? That's what Shmuel says. Right, is that it's just because the Mishnah, the assumption is the Mishnah always tells you the biggest chiddush. If the Mishnah held that you need kavana for shechita, don't tell me a case. If the knife falls, it's possible. Even if you throw a knife down, it's possible because you need kavana. But the fact that our Mishnah is only telling us if the knife falls, it's possible, the implication is that if the person is involved in doing it, whether he has kavana or he doesn't have kavana, it's kosher. Because the Mishnah is not going to choose the smaller chiddush. If they're both possible, then tell me the point. The point is, it's possible because you don't have an adam involved. If the point is that you need kavana's adam, then the Mishnah should have told us that. So you have a right to deduce from omission the extent of the chiddush of the Mishnah. So that's what we're saying. Who's the author? Who's the author of our Mishnah? Right, Mishnahis aren't just teaching me a case. Mishnahis are teaching me a chiddush. You don't tell me a smaller chiddush in the face of a bigger chiddush. Okay, so that's just pshat. I mean, I think it's important to get pshat, the Gemara, where it's coming from. But maybe it's even obvious. If you read it carefully, you notice this point. I'm not saying anything in any chiddush here. So it says like this. So it says, Ma'antana, Dilobina, Kamano, Shchita, who's the author who holds that? So the Gemara says, I'm a Rava. Rava, remember this, Rava says, until the pshat will be important. Rava says, Rava the Amora says, Rav Nassan he. The author of our Mishnah is Rav Nassan, the Tana. De Tani Oshia Zira Demin Chavraya, because Oshia, the youngest guy in the yeshiva, Zorashi says. Tzair HaYeshiva. Tzair Demin is Iro Demin Chavrai. He's the smallest, the youngest of the yeshiva. The youngin. I don't know if it means youngest in age or in Chachma. It probably sounds like age. But Liner the Oshio's Iro and Nikar Demin Chavrai. Shememne Yeshiva. Okay, I don't know what the other pshat is. But whatever. So, Oshio's Iro Demin Chavrai says, Zorak Sakin Lenoat Sobekosel. If you throw a knife, the throat to stick it into the wall. V'holcha v'shachta k'darka, and it went and it did shchita. Rabbi Nosson machshir v'chacham in poslan. Right? Rabbi Nosson says it's kasher, the chacham says it's poslan. Hu tani la v'hu amrala. Halachik Rabbi Nosson. So he learned that he said the Mishnah from his rabbi, and he says the halachas like Rabbi Nosson. I guess the Yerucham Raya. Fine. So Rava is saying, who the Rav Nassan's author of our Mishnah? Because the case of the Mishnah, that Braisa, the Mishnah of that Machlokas, that Braisa is saying is if you throw a knife into the wall and it goes into Shechita. So what do? You have Maisei Adam, but you don't have Kavana. He's not trying to do Shechita, he's trying to throw into the wall. Right? So that's the Machlokas. Do you need Kavana? Do you not need Kavana? Right? And you see, our Mishnah apparently is holding that you don't need kavana, so it's there nothing. Good. Okay. So the Gemara says, "V'ha ama Rava chadazimna." What do you mean, Rava already told us this one time? Right, Rashi. Lama leila Rava lemeidak miasnisan. Why does Rava have to be medayik from our Mishnah? Well, meimar ha'ipilu hukshera to tell us that the implication is, but if he throws it down, it's kasher. And to teach us that the Mishnah is going like Rav Nassan, Hashminan Rava Chadazimna, this Sasam Lantanik Rav Nassan. Rav already told us this one time. What's Rava's point? Rava's point, presumably, is to deduce what Stam Mishnah holds. Stam Mishnah holds like Rav Nassan. But Rava already did this on a different occasion. So what's the point of Rava doing it again? The Tnan, because it's a Mishnah, the Kulan Sheshachatan. So if anybody, I think this is the first mission in Chulan. If all these people are doing shchita, and someone's watching them, it's kasher, right? So it's a chayr shodav katan doing it, included in that list, right? Amrinan, man tana de lo boi kavana shchita. So we say, who's the author of Dioni Kavana? Ve'amar Rava, and Rava on the spot says, Rabbi Nosani. He said, it's Rabbi Nosan. So Rava already told us, he tells us two times, that the Stam Mishnah is like Rabbi Nosan. But he already told us in the beginning of Chulin that the Stam Mishnah is like Rabbi Nosan. He already made the same exact deduction. Because it says, Chayr Shalat HaKadon, Kedush Shchita, Chayr Shalat HaKadon, same way, it's a Maaseh Adam, but you don't have Kavana. And apparently our Mishnah, the author of our Mishnah, holds like Rabbi Nosan. So now what? Now the author of our Mishnah, once again, Rabbi Anasi, who again is writing Stam Mishnah, is writing again like Rabbi Nosan. So what, the Rav has to tell us every single time? Oh, see, I told you he's a Mishnah holds like Rabbi Nosan. What's the point? It's the exact same thing, of course. Right? So that's the Gemara's Kasha. What do you need Rava to do this? You say it one time, and then we understand. Right? So Mar says, Tricha. No, you need it. It's not clear. They're different. They're not exactly identical, and you could differentiate between these two cases, even though they both seem to revolve around the same question. Do you need Kavana for Shechita? Do you not need Kavana for Shechita? They're not 100% identical. Ashmin is going to go both ways now. Show you how you can differentiate. D'i Ashmin Inan Hasam. Because if you told us over there, by the Chayr Shad V'Kadon, right? Mishum de Kamechavin L'Shashum Chaticha Ba'olam. Because at least he's trying to cut the thing. I mean, what do you think? The Chayr Shad V'Kadon is trying to cut? I mean, he may not have das to understand the idea of Shechita, the halachic process which we call Shechita and the Psulim and the Grama and Shechikor and whatever. But I mean, what is he doing? He's trying to cut the neck of the animal. Right? He's at least trying to do that. But here, you're not even trying to do that. You're just throwing a knife. Right? You're just dropping a knife. You're intending to put down a knife. You're not trying to cut an animal. There's no animal even. The animal just flies in there or whatever. Amalo? So I would say, no. Rashi. If not for Rava coming along, I wouldn't know that if you throw it down, it's kasher. Even if you throw it down, I would think it's possible. Yeah, I'll tell you, of course, because he's trying to cut. Right? That's what you have to teach me. I would think, from the plain Mishnah, you have to actually try to do Shechita, right? And if you just throw it down, no, that's no good. That you could deduce from our Mishnah, didn't say in our Mishnah if you throw the sakin, apparently that's also kosher. So apparently the halacha that you don't need kavana for Shechita doesn't only mean that if you don't try to do Shechita, but you try to do Chaticha, that's also okay. No, even if you're not even trying to do Chaticha, it's also okay. Right? Fine. The Hadil Aparach, that's a further. Let me hold off on that point for a second. It's a little monkey wrench in the facts, but forget about that for a second. What? It's important, but let's hold off on that. So that's the first thing he's saying, is that just because you know Chayr Shad V'Katan is good, yeah, Chayr Shad V'Katan at least trying to cut. But maybe the throwing the knife down, we're not even trying to cut, maybe I'll say that's possible. Maybe that's not good. Even Rav Nassim maybe wouldn't, maybe we didn't even know that. So Rava's saying, no. The Yidus from our Mishnah, that Rav Nassim's halacha, Yonai Kavana, even means if you're not even trying to do cutting. Okay, fine. So just tell me that one. So what do you need to tell me? Chayr Shad V'Katan one. Just tell me that one. So it says, V'i, so the Gemara continues. V'i Ashmeinan Hacha. And if you just told me over here, we shouldn't cause him to ben das. I'll say the reason why it's kasher if a person throws a knife onto the floor and it shechts, is it good? Even though he doesn't have kavana, because at least it's a ben das doing it. Aval Hasam, by Chayr Shad V'Katan, lo cause him to ben das. Where it's not even coming from a ben das. Amalo, I'd say that's not good. You don't need kavana, but you still need a bandas. So kamash malon, no. That Rabbi Nosson holds, since you don't need kavana, even you don't even need a bandas. you don't even need a ben das. Right? You don't even need a ben das, and therefore that's going to be kasher. So you need Rava to come and show you the extent of Rabbi Nosson's halacha that it applies to both cases. Because if you only had one, you wouldn't know the difference. Yeah, I just want to read the Rashi, which I didn't finish. But I think it's a side point in terms of the conceptual development of the Svaras, but it's a pshat point. It says, this is the end of the big Rashi of halacha. It says, V'hadde parafa amar ravacha dozimna. What is our Gemara? Notice, our Gemara is attacking Rava. Why does Rava have to tell us this thing twice? V'lo parach taninacha dozimna. Why not just ask on the Mishnah? What does the Mishnah have to tell me, both of these halachos? Right? Mishum demas nisan lo toni v'hadje hipilu udik sheira el Rava dayikla. The Mishnah just tells me that if it falls, it's possible. Right? So that's not extra, right? That's telling me halacha that if it falls, you need a ma'aseh adam. It's not that adam. It's not good. The extra part is to deduce that when you have a ma'aseh adam, you don't need kavana. Well, that we already know from Chereshul the Katan. So that's not the Mishnah. You can't ask from the Mishnah. Why does the Mishnah have to give us this implication? We already know it. The Mishnah is just telling me the halacha. Rava is bringing out, calling attention. Oh, I'll tell you a chiddush I could deduce from the Mishnah. What do you mean, Rava? This isn't a chiddush. You already did this chiddush, right? But there's no kasha from the Mishnayos. Mishnayos aren't repetitive. One Mishnah is telling me a chiddush is good. Fine, you don't need das. Next one is telling me, oh, but you need another. Fine, you need to tell me that. Where do you know? How do you know? Just because you say chiddush is good, now the Mishnah is to tell me, by the way, if it falls off, it's no good. There's no kasha. It's not extra. But that's what Rava, who calls attention to it, that's what the Gemara is taking him to task. What's the deal? Don't we already know this? Right? So it's just, just working out the chesed. So my question for you is, how should we proceed here? This is like a little bit messy, a lot of things going on here. How should we, just in terms of trying to define the sugya, what should be our first step? How would you proceed? Good. So I like Shmuel's suggestion. Let's ignore all the complications of the Trichasa back and forth. Let's ignore all that, and let's just take Chacham versus Rabbi Nosson in the most generic form. Okay? Do you need Kavana for Shechita? Do you not need Kavana for Shechita? Okay? And that's like, the Trichasa is like a subdivision, showing us the extent of the Machlokas. But maybe again, like before, like it's a first step, like could we just like get a working definition, a basic Chakira? Basic definition for the machlokas, and then of course we're going to refine it. The Mishnah, the Trichasa is going to help us refine it and get the full, details, the extent of where they're arguing. But I'm saying, I think it might be wise for us at least to get our head into the area. We're not ready for the fine chilukim of the difference between the two cases. At least let's, in a general way, throw out a definition from the machlokas. Pretend we didn't know all these details. We weren't so sophisticated. We just say, do you need kavana for shechita, or do you not need kavana for shechita? We know, definitely, you need a person. If it falls off the table, we know for sure it's possible. But, do you need kavana, or do you not need kavana? And for now, you could treat, what do you mean you don't need kavana? For instance, if Chirikotan does it, if you're throwing it at the wall, whatever, kavana, we know kavana, right? You wouldn't even know to make these distinctions. But I just said, do you need kavana to do shechita or not? Right? So maybe we could just give a definition for that, and then after we have a good starting definition, and then we could try to work our way into the nitty-gritty of the trichasa. On a plain level, I guess it means you know what shechita is, right? Like you see a chesh of the god, for instance, does or whatever. You know what shechita is. There's such an action called shechita, and you're trying to do that. A certain action which is called shechita, and you're trying to do that action. It doesn't mean because you have any big religious thoughts, but there's such a thing called shechita, where you take it, you cut the animal a certain way, with a knife a certain way. Maybe you know that that's going to make Hech Shabbasar. I don't really know if you know that or not. But it's not an accident. You're trying to do shechita. Right?
Doesn't that just mean you're not Misazer?
You could say that. You could say that, but whatever. Fine. So, but could you have Misazer? Apparently, according to Rasa, you can have a sasek, right?
Right.
So that's the question, right? Is that okay? Is that okay? Do you need to know what you're doing to have das that I'm doing shechita? Yeah, I mean, you could say it sounds like it, right? Right. It's not like l'shem kiyama mitzvah. I don't think it means that. It's not. It's, but maybe it's l'shem achshav asar. I don't know how far exactly our kavanah has to go. But at the very least, let's just say it means that you're doing. You know what you're doing. You know what you're doing. You're not just throwing a knife at the wall, and you're not a chayish of the katan who doesn't even know what shechita is. Right? I mean, that type of question is going to be maybe the further chilukim, which the tzrichos is going to get us into, you know? But at least for starters, let's ignore that, you know, let's not be that precise about what we mean. I mean, I'm trying to call attention to methodology here, because I think it's like, sometimes, you know, this is the way sugyas go. Oftentimes, you have a lot of different facts. You know, and I think it's worthwhile to see a lot of facts before you just start defining things. But at the same time, it's often overwhelming. And to try to, like, you know, it's like you may not notice the Gemara is focusing on the Strichasa, but it's a good idea to slowly work your way into an area. You know, you can't necessarily just jump for the final, you know, definitions. You got to go slow. I mean, that's a good question. It's like when you're going through a sugya, sometimes you feel like you want to define it right away. You're ready to define. The first time you see facts, you want to define. So, but sometimes you don't necessarily have enough information. So, this is my opinion on the matter. Is there's two ways to go, in my opinion. One way is to get all the facts. Just keep going. Cover, read a daf, a gemara, I don't know, whatever. Just read a lot, you know, cover ground. Get all the facts in the sugya, and then take stock of everything. That's one way to do it. The other way to do it is to give a definition right away, but a tentative definition, and don't spend too long on it. That's my opinion. I mean, I'm sure there are people who disagree, but I just feel to spend a long time on a definition where you know the sugya is developing. You know there are, I mean, it's a certain feel, intuitive feel when you're in the middle of a sugya and how far you have to go. It's not always clear where the cutoff is. I mean, you can read daf and daf and daf and daf and daf. I mean, it's not reasonable. I mean, some people would argue it is, but I don't know. I think it becomes a judgment call of when, how far you have to go. But I just think is that you don't want to really work out the nitty gritty of a definition of a sugya, and to really put a lot of energy into it and be, you know, get married to a svara, so to speak, before you know the fact that the next line, it contradicts your whole way of thinking about it. Especially because I think in developing a svara, I think that it's wise to be guided by the facts as opposed to just making up svaras on your own creativity. I think it's good for as far as to emerge from the facts, from the lashonos, from the whatever. And the more facts you see in an area, the more clues you have as to where the svara is and what the issues really are. So if you just read two lines, see machlokas, you don't necessarily know all the different, you don't have any clues. You're just kind of sitting back and just speculating, or defining. You call it defining, you call it speculating, I'm not sure. But I think it is oftentimes going further, you see that you get a better grip on what's bothering them, what the issues are. So you come from a place with more knowledge. Sometimes, though, you see all the facts and you realize, oh, no, this isn't relevant. Bottom line is, it all comes down to this definition, and therefore forget all the details. They were just, ran through the shop. But then you know, it's just like if you don't know, you don't know. And then you end up, you could just give a spur in the dark. Oftentimes, you read through the facts and realize what's relevant and what's not relevant. A lot of times, why is it tashmach? I just remember from one case, it's not relevant, it's just a fact, and whatever. I mean, but sometimes within a whole flow of Gemara, there may be one point which one Rashi or one Gemara, where you see, oh, what's going on? This is not, there's more, you know. Then, even if you go back and take it slow, one step at a time, I mean, I don't think, therefore, you should then define the whole thing simultaneously. It's good to go one step at a time still, but at least you're coming from a point where you have a little bit of, the scenery that's up ahead. So it tips you off to it. But it depends. Some people can't just keep piling on facts. I mean, I know the different minds. One person could just go through the whole chesed of a daf gemara, go through all the steps and kind of get a basic idea and hold it in his head and get a basic... Some people can't tolerate that much pshat without definitions, and they can't remember it and they can't follow it and, they, you know... So then it may be wise to first define, and then but then again, I think it's still wise not to give too much stock to your definition, because you should know that it's based upon, incomplete knowledge about the thing. So again, these are, you know, these are somewhat personal decisions, I think, and you have to, I think you have to learn on your own a little bit and develop your own way. So I think this is, I'm kind of, you know, giving you my opinion on the matter, but you have to, you know, to see what works for you and that kind of thing. I mean, definitely, it's like very hard for most people. Depends on your mind. But for most people, it's very hard to just go through tons of facts without any ideas, without any time. It's like dry, it's hard to remember, it's confusing. So sometimes even just a good working definition serves the purpose of getting, allowing you to digest the facts, so that you have a way to put it in your mind and to move forward with more facts, you know? But at the same time, you should know that it's superficial because you're not really in the midst of the sugya. And therefore, you should be aware that it's sometimes it's just a placeholder. It allows you to keep going. That's what I mean. It's a working definition. It's like an initial hypothesis, you know? But then you have to test it. It's like in the scientific method. You know, you see the things, you make hypotheses, you test it out, you go further, you see. And you're always adjusting it, you know? So to have, like, that's what I'm saying is, how much time you put into it. I think it's true. I mean, the amount of time is variable, but there is an idea of really thinking through a sugya, putting, like, a lot of time in a problem. It's like you kind of to put a lot of stock in that type of a thing. If you come up with anything, you feel very hesitant to drop it, give it up. So sometimes there's an idea to give it a few minutes to think about it. See what we come up with. Come on. No, don't work for the perfection of the idea also. Once you get an idea, it's not perfect, you know, there's certain things which aren't clear about it, whatever, it's enough to get you going, to allow you to get further, and now you'll remember it, you have a way to hold on to it in your head, and now you go further, and you get more facts, and then you kind of, you know, just kind of work your way through the sugya, but then come back to the beginning, start again. Okay, now let's really, now we see all the problems, see all the facts, let's start again, let's try to really work it through carefully. I mean, it's always tricky is how much you have to do. Sometimes you have to do, read a lot of different, a lot of Gemaras, a lot of pages, a lot of daf from the same Gemara. You know, there's, I mean, you can't do, you know, for an ad infinitum. You could. Some people would do, I mean, it depends on you, you know. But I always like to see something, you know. Yeah, I think both of those are decent approaches. Cover a lot of ground first and then define, or give quick definitions and then, you know, cover ground and then come back. I don't think it's a good idea the other way. That's my opinion. To really work out the whole sugya from the first facts. I mean, it just, you're so, it often happens that you're not taking other things into account. You get attached to your svara because that's what you came up with. First svara is almost always wrong. It's like, no matter what, it's your first svara is almost always wrong. It's based upon your first feel for an area. You don't have any facts, you don't have any intuition in the area, you don't have any anything. It's like, what do you have to come up with to work for hours on your first svara when you don't know anything about this? Like, how good is your feeling, is your intuition anyways, to be able to kind of nail the svara? Spending 2 hours because you're really trying to get the svara? It's just, you know, it's maybe some people's intuition is like right on target, but and I find in general, you always have misconceptions about it. So you're never going to notice. A lot of it is about the clues, as I said, yeah, like in evolution of physics, the book is like his investigative work of picking up, looking for questions, for subtle lishonos, for different questions, trying to deduce what is the question, what isn't the question, what's interesting in the Gemara, what's, you know. Yeah, for sure. For sure. Like, I was just doing a sugya today, doing about Kli Shaaris, is a cool question of which Kalim are in the Mikdash are of Kedusha and which ones are Kli Chol. Which are Kli Shaaris and which don't have Kedusha. Trying to figure out whether the wet, the ones that are dry measurements and wet ones, the ones that use like liquid and use of solid, which we're working for a long time trying to figure it out. And then we realize after a certain amount of time, it's only a question of Midos Halach and Midos Hayavesh, measurements. There are a lot of Kalim in the Mikdash which aren't measurements. They just use them to actually process the mincha, process the carbon, whatever. And that's how it's discussing. It's discussing about midos halach, measuring cups, you know. But like you said, that's a clear fact. That's just what it's talking about. It's only talking about midos. But we were working for a few hours or days without realizing that. That it just, you know, it's like an obvious thing. It says it. But it just, sometimes you just gloss over these things. But, you know, sometimes you just have to, like, it's a clue. 1 second. Must be it's only about midos, but other things not, and then you kind of work, you know. So I don't know, sometimes I feel like by going over the facts and looking at different things, you kind of notice some of these things. I don't know, I'm not sure if this is the same point or not, but it's just like, you kind of have to, it's the other point, is you got to look for clues. And sometimes, you know, you read like one line of facts, you don't have very many clues, you know, but the clues make your svara grounded in proper steps and in proper facts, as opposed to just making up, you know, sitting back and trying to, you know, ponder the world of definitions that are still in your head. It's interesting. I mean, svaras on the one hand is in your head, but on the other hand, it should be grounded in facts, you know? There's a degree of latitude and freedom you have of going beyond the facts, but at the same time, I think you want to be as grounded in facts and deductions and muchach things as you could. You know, you should basically take everything you could from the facts and then give svaras, you know, but it should be as guided as much as possible by good logic, good solid steps from the clues in the sugya. Yeah, that's the beginning of that book, Evolution of Physics. He talks about that. He compares a physicist to a guy, a detective, you know, looking for clues. You know, his clues are, he has to do, and this is a cool thing about Gemara, it's like his clues, he has to do new experiments, and it cost thousands of dollars and equipment and whatever to do experiments. I mean, for us, the clues are all in the Daf Gemara, you know? So, it's cool. Every Daf has new problems, new clues, new problems, new issues, new definitions. I mean, in science, you know, you come upon new problems every few years or whatever, you know? It's like here, every Daf has thousands of, you know, problems all over the place. There's no shortage of problems and clues and facts. And yeah. All right. So why don't we, you know, leave it till next week. Okay? So it's better anyways. Give you some time to think about it. So basically, so what's our plan. The plan is first give it the basic definition from Machlokas Rav and the Chacham. Then once you have that, then try to work through the, you know, the two tzrichos, right? What's the, apparently, it's not as simple as just the machlokas and the chacham. Rav is bringing out the full scope of the machlokas. You could have thought the machlokas is only by chersh v'dikatan. You could have thought the machlokas is only by what's it called? By hipila, by the whatever. So k'mashlam is by both. So in theory, there's like three ways of looking at the machlokas. If you'd say it's only chersh v'dikatan, that's gonna be one question. If you look at the other, it's another question. I mean, in theory, maybe you could make it simpler than that, but there's like three different versions of the machlokas, right? That's a good question. That's really a good question. Problem. What's the svara for Rabbi Nassim? If you say that you don't need kavana, you could have a chereshul dekatan, or you could have a guy just throwing a knife at a wall. I mean, why is that any better than a knife falling? Right? I mean, I understand if a person is doing a shchita, it's like a ma'aseh adam. I mean, is this a ma'aseh adam? I mean, it's like a funny. It sounds like basically it fell off the table, but no, it didn't fall off the table. I knocked it off the table, or whatever. I threw it onto the floor. I mean, is that really much different than, I mean, here are the Chacham. The Chacham's point is you got to do Shechita. Shechita is a Ma'aseh Adam. What does that mean? You take a knife and you slaughter an animal. Now, a kata, a chereshul dekatan, or a mamish just throw a thing at a wall and it does it. Is that much better? What's really the difference? True.
There's a different Ma'aseh Adam we're talking about.
Something like that, right? Yep. At least according to Rav Nassim. Yep. Okay. Good question. Okay, that's a good stat. All right. So, what to think about?